Money 105.5 presents Money 2.0.
Money 2.0.
Now, from Rogerson Business Services, certified business broker, Andrew Rogerson on Money 2.0.
Good morning and welcome to 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. I'm the host of the show, Andrew Rogerson. My guest this morning, I've got Jake Goldman, and Jake's the CEO of TenUp.com. And Jake specializes in putting WordPress websites together. So having a conversation with Jake about the importance of a website. And my second guest is Bill Angove. And Bill's the Vice President of Asset Preservation, Inc., which specializes in 1031 exchanges. And it's a technical way of delaying taxes on the sale of property. So I'll be talking to Bill later on in the show. This show is available to listen and download from my website. So if you're out driving and you're hearing something that's of interest to you and you'd like to hear the show again, you're welcome to visit my website, www.rogersonbusinessservices.com. There's a ribbon across the top. It's got a media tab. Click on the media tab and there's a drop down to 105.5 FM and you can get a recording of the show. It'll be there later on this afternoon. So you're welcome to download and listen to the show in a more relaxed environment if you're, as I say, if you're out driving and doing things. This show, it's about helping entrepreneurs. If you're a business owner or thinking of becoming a business owner, this show is for you. We cover topics that include the spectrum of selling a business or buying a business or buying a franchise. These topics include finance, legal issues, tax, accounting, as well as sales and marketing. Hence the reason for my two guests this morning, one talking about websites and one talking about how to save some money on taxes. My name is Andrew Rogerson, and I'm a certified business broker, and I'm the host of your show. I'm a certified business broker with the California Association of Business Brokers. I'm also certified with International Business Brokers Association, and tomorrow I head down to Anaheim for a conference in Anaheim for 5 days on business brokerage, so looking forward to that. I'm also the author of four books: Successfully Start Your Business, Successfully Buy Your Business, Successfully Buy Your Franchise, and then when you've made your money, you need how to get out, and that's the fourth book, Successfully Sell Your Business. If you'd like to know more about buying or selling a business or buying a franchise, please visit my website, www.rogersonbusinessservices.com, or you're welcome to give me a call, 916-570-2674. Each week I like to quickly touch on a charity because I have a saying that nothing gets better without charities. And about 6 weeks ago I had a guest on that had his mother living in Oklahoma when the tornado went through there. So it was interesting how small the world is. He was a guest on my show, Brent Smith, and Brent lives in Auburn and runs the SED Corp. But his mother lives in Oklahoma and was touched by the tornado. And on June 30th, there's a charity cut-a-thon at Cut Loose Hair Design. My daughter works at Cut Loose, and all the proceeds from the day are going to help two victims that were caught in the Boston Marathon bombing event. There were a married couple, and they were standing at the wrong place at the wrong time, and they each lost their right leg. So they're local people. They come from Sacramento. So Cut Loose is putting on a charity cut-a-thon and sidewalk sale. So that's on June 30th. It goes all day from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Cut Loose is, I'm looking to see if I can find an address here, and they haven't got an address on their flyer. But you're welcome to look up cutloose.com and see if you can, here we go. They've got a Facebook page, facebook.com/cutloose boutique and spa. So look them up. I haven't done a great job of promoting their location, but you're welcome to go there on June 30th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. All the proceeds from the sale go to the two young Sacramento people. They're in their 30s that lost their legs and lost their right leg. And they would be more than happy to have some help from you. So Cut Loose on June 30th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. They're in Carmichael, I think, near Marconi Avenue. So that will help you find where they are. Next week I'll have a better address for you to give out. So please look to help them. part of what I do is help people buy and sell a business. And I wrote a blog just a little while back, people using their 401k money or IRA money to invest in a business. If you think you're getting into business, you can buy a business or buy a franchise, and you'll need to have a down payment to get into business. And a lot of people are using their 401k or IRA to invest in a business. So if you're thinking of buying a business or buying a franchise and want to know if you how to use your 401k, please go to my website, go to my blog. There's an article I wrote there. Can I use my retirement money to buy a business or a franchise? And the answer is yes. And I've just helped two people do that just recently. So if you have questions about that process, please give me a call. My first guest this morning is a young gentleman. I met Jake at a meetup group, and the meetup group was about WordPress web design. And Jake was actually putting the whole thing together. So I was able to meet Jake and talk with him, and actually had a couple of meetings with him. He knows a bunch about WordPress websites. Jake, have I got you there?
You've got me here.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. How good. Are you?
I'm doing well. Yes, this is great. Thanks for coming on board. You're a web guy from way back. Just give me a little bit of background. How long have you been doing websites?
I like to joke that I've been doing websites since there's been a web to develop on. I started in websites probably in the mid-90s while admittedly I was still in high school, and we could look at source code and figure out most of what we needed to know. And then I started doing it for jobs for people, started doing it mostly through family, friends, and businesses. Before I knew it, I was consulting through college and became my profession.
And you've chose to specialize in WordPress. What attracted you to specialize in WordPress?
So I sort of landed in WordPress. I didn't start in WordPress. WordPress has only been a thing. I think we just had our 10th anniversary, actually, and I didn't get into it until about its 6th or 7th anniversary.
Right.
The reason we chose WordPress was because everybody on this team, including me, having worked in web for a while, having had some bad experiences with a classic customer using a platform that comes back every week, still not getting it, still not figuring out how to actually manage their website. It was the one platform we could build on. Customers would actually latch onto it, have a good, use it effectively and not need to call us, every month when somebody new started for, 2 days of retraining.
So it's so Jake's a tech guy, and you'll get that from our conversation with Jake. He's highly skilled. One of the intriguing things for me is that I've had a WordPress website for about 6 years, I guess, and it drives me crazy trying to understand the technology. And my business isn't being a WordPress or a website developer. That's Jake's skill, and you'll hear that as I have my conversation with Jake. But when you're looking at the customer experience, Jake, what's some of the things that you think the WordPress brings from a customer perspective that some of the highlights?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many that we can touch on. I think what WordPress does uniquely, because we could probably spend the whole show just on this, but what's unique about it as a platform, many of these platforms, what we call content management systems, tools that you don't, in theory, need a professional developer to keep that content up to date. If not your design, are built for developers, they're built for programmers. They started as tools for engineers to really put together their site and make it easier to update. WordPress, I think, may be if not the only platform, it's certainly one of the only platforms that predominantly focuses on the publisher's experience. You're not filled up with settings panels, with terminology like taxonomies and object types that you just have no idea what's going on. 30 menus full of information that you don't know want to touch and you're a little scared by. It's really designed from the ground up to be a tool for publishing, for focusing on content.
I think that's you're saying a critical piece there, because there are these I see these ads on TV that you can have a website for free, and pretty much that's just a static page that puts your name and address out there, and that's all it does. Whereas Jake, you're talking about content, and I got the expression ringing in my ears: content is king. And And that's one of the reasons why you'd look at doing a WordPress website, because it's the content management system that allows you to maximize the WordPress environment and attract the business that you're looking for. Have I got that right?
Yeah, I think that's basically right. I mean, there's always a place in a market like build a website for everything from the free option and the very simple sort of check off the box. I have a website now, I can send someone to with my phone number,
right,
all the way to customers we work with like Global News that are basically Canada's like CNN. In context. So there's a huge spectrum in WordPress. There's spaces in the WordPress ecosystem for both. You can go to WordPress.com, the hosted version of WordPress, and get a free, fairly simple website. You know, or you can go all the way up to working with somebody like us, where you're trying to do something that's much more, you know, that maybe has a more unique content presentation, or maybe that's content that's very unique to your business, right, or special for your business.
So the there's two customers you are servicing when you're putting a website together. You obviously have the end visitor in mind, the person that goes to the website to buy a product or buy a service. So that's the end visitor. But you're also, which is what you do very well, I think, is you help the person that actually owns the website and putting their back end together and putting their structure together. Have I broken that down correctly?
Yeah, I mean, I think we think both is very important, the presentation to your audience, the experience for your audience. I think what we have focused on by being in the WordPress space, by focusing on the WordPress space, is that publishing experience, that it's not part of the experience is your customers, people coming to your site trying to convert, but an important part of that experience and a big piece of your long-term cost of ownership is your ability to come in and update content and publish content and change and update what's on your homepage without that being a painful experience. In fact, you know, we like to say we try to make that even a fun experience.
Right. So that's the critical piece. So the customer that Jake would help best is somebody who owns a business and they enjoy creating content. And that's what I enjoy doing. I've got my website. I think I've written, last count, about 235 blogs, I think. And I've got the recordings from this weekly radio show I'm doing. I've written some books and they're available on my website. So the content is important to me to present properly to the people that come to my website. And that's the skill and that's the expertise that that Jake brings, because he's able to help guys like me and by managing the content and controlling the publishing experience. Jake refers to it as a publishing experience, and that makes perfect sense to me. How did you get started building websites? What was the thing that got you going?
So I think, you know, so again, when my beginning was back when the web started to come of age, when we started to get really interesting websites.
Right.
Again, I think I was in high school at the time, and at that time, I think I was very fortunate because the web was not this sort of massive thing it is now, with very complex expectations around design and presentation. We didn't have content management systems.
Right.
Understanding the web was, in some sense, to oversimplify it, as simple as going back in Netscape 2.0, right, and looking at the source code and hacking with it and playing with it. And then, you know, it quickly, as we all know, in the 90s became something very hot.
Yep, and here we are. My guest this morning, Jake Goldman. When we come back from break, I've got some more questions for Jake about WordPress and the development environment. Thank you for listening to 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. We'll be back shortly.
Money 2.0 is sponsored by Rogerson Business Services.
Call Money 105.5 at 866-576-1055. And get your questions answered in real time, right now, on Money 2.0.
We're talking to Gerald Singer and Elias Guzman, attorneys from Singer & Associates Law Office of Father's Custody Center. Elias, does the cost of a family law case have to be expensive?
No. And in this economy, people don't have extra money. Their home values have dropped, and now you're in a situation where you need an attorney. Give us a call today. Schedule a consultation, and we can discuss options with you, like limited scope representation, which may be preparing family law documents or appearing at a hearing with you.
Or ask us about our Be First to File program. Self-representation may be your only option. Be First to File specializes in preparing your legal pleadings, getting them filed, and serving them on the other side. Don't go it alone. Let Singer & Associates help you today.
If you're a divorcing or single father with a family law dispute, contact Singer & Associates now at 916-922-5985 or at our Fairfield office, 707-317-3452. And on the web at singerlaw.net. We'll go to bat for you.
Are you a business owner or entrepreneur at heart? I am too. I'm Andrew Rogerson, a local business broker and host of Money 2.0. Listen live Tuesdays at 10 on Money 105.5 FM. Let's talk about how you can successfully run your business.
Tune in to Money 2.0 with Andrew Rogerson, certified business broker and author of 4 books, Successfully Start Your Business, Buy Your Business, Buy Your Franchise, and Successfully Sell Your Business. Hear Andrew Rogerson on Money 2.0 live, 10 a.m. Tuesdays, right here on Money 105.5 FM.
Money experts, every morning at 10 on Money 2.0. Now, back to the host, Andrew Rogerson.
Welcome back, and thank you for listening to 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. I'm the host of your show, and my first guest this morning is Jake Goldman, and Jake's with a WordPress development company called 10up.com. And I'll give you Jake's phone number now. If you're listening and you're thinking, you know, I'd like some more information from Jake, you're more than welcome to give him a call. He's new to the area, so I'm going to give you a phone number that it's not a local Sacramento number, but it works. It's 401-757-0610. Or if you want to jump on Jake's website, it's just 10 up. Just real simple. And the number 10, 10up.com, 10up.com. That's Jake's website. And you can get some more information about Jake's business. He has a unique service to what he does. It's called a distributive website company. And I have trouble saying that word, distributive. And we'll get some more information about that in a minute. But Jake, tell me, what was your motivation for starting 10up? What was the catalyst behind getting 10up up and running?
Sure. So the very direct answer is I'd spent, before starting 10up, I'd worked for two companies, both in a consultancy kind of model. The first one was actually a government contractor, a defense contractor, a smaller one, about 100 people by the time that I left. The second one was another agency that was in the web space, worked with a variety of different platforms, of which WordPress was just one. I felt that I made a significant contribution to helping both of those companies, both of those owners, really grow and extend their company. The last company I worked with, when I joined, I was the first full-time hire. And when I left, there were, you know, about 2.5 to 3 years later, there were 12 employees. I felt pretty strongly after doing helping those two companies, that if I was going to do this again, if I was going to pour myself in once again to that growth, that it was going to be something that was I had an ownership stake, or was at least, outright owner of.
Right. So the one of the things that impresses me with 10up, I've used different website companies, and I've actually tried to use different website companies, and I found it a frustrating experience. And the frustration tends to come from one person can put a shingle out to say they're a website developer. And you look at their websites, and they seem to have some nice websites, so you tend to believe that because they can present a nice website, they know what they're doing. But I found a lot of the website developers unreliable. So you've put together an interesting business model. Just give us some background. What was the reasoning behind the business model you've put together?
Sure. So the business model, and I'll try to pronounce this word on the radio, the distributed business model, as we call
Thank
it.
Thank you.
Based on, you know, people that have come before us, companies like 37 Signals, best known for making products like Basecamp, a company called Automattic, who's in our same space, really a company that I look up to, started by the guy named Matt, who created WordPress. The idea of the distributed model is that there's not a central office. There's not a place where everybody comes in every day that I sit with. We hire employees from around the country that are phenomenal at what they do, and work from home or work from co-working spaces, and go from there. And we communicate with a variety of tools that probably didn't really exist or exist well 10 years ago. Skype for video conferences. We have chat rooms that we participate in, online tools like Basecamp that we use to collaborate and facilitate and share information. We find it to be very effective. The reason for it, to sort of get to the crux, the reason for it was a philosophy that I have, which is that if you want to be really at the top of your industry, if you really want to find the best and be the best, I think in this era where it doesn't really matter where we are, I mean, almost none of our clients, you know, are local, quote unquote, to me, especially when we started. This idea that you're going to put a pin down in the map in the middle of where I happen to live at the moment, which is Rockland, then I look at that map, draw a 50-mile radius around that pin, and say I'm going to find the best talent to build a 20, 30, 40-person company within that radius, I think is a dated model in the kind of industry that I'm in. It's been incredibly freeing and the company would never be what it was if I was limited geographically to the hiring pool and the talent pool.
So the thing that makes the distributed company model a successful one for you guys is what? I think you've probably touched on it. So what's the best thing about the model you've put together?
Yeah, I think there's a few good things. I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, there's no mistake in that it's about talent. It's about finding the best talent. And to the extent, again, that we're not near our customers, it doesn't really necessarily matter where any of us are. If you can leverage the tools that we have now and have good practices and good techniques, and you do need those more than you do in a traditional sort of brick and mortar business for facilitating collaboration and culture, that it really frees you up to find the best, hire the best, scale in a way that's much more challenging when you're restricted geographically. There are other nice things about it. I think a lot of the people that really love what they do and thrive at what they do love the freedom. They love not being distracted by sort of the trappings of an office, and people walking by or sort of swiping you during the classic, you know, walking by the cubicle. They love that flexibility and freedom. As long as they put their hours in, that they're not told that my most productive hours are getting to a desk at 9 a.m. and walking away from a desk at 5 p.m.
Right. So one of the challenges in the model, I'm sure, is the disciplines, because you're working in a collaborative environment. I spent 5 years at HP, and I built a team of 42 people that that managed a 24-hour call center 6 days a week. And you have to have disciplines. And I think it's critical to what you're doing, because if timelines slip or if quality slips, customers don't like that. How do you manage the discipline part of the problem?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think the first thing to say is that in being freed up to hire around the country, we also have to be much more selective about who we hire. We have a much bigger pool, but there's also a very firm, very clear, very strong conversation when we go through this interview process and the onboarding process and sometimes the trialing process about what it means to work at a distributed company, what our expectations are, what works for somebody. I will go so far as to essentially say in so many words, if you don't think you're up to this, think about it now, because I'm not going to have any qualms in a month having a hard conversation with you.
Sure.
And then the other reality is that we still have many of, just because we're distributed doesn't mean that with the tools we have today, we can't have many of those trappings that give people discipline.
Sure.
We have weekly project management meetings. We have stand-up calls. We have marketing meetings where we're all visually, you know, using tools like Google Hangouts to all be doing video conferencing, you know, on the phone and seeing one another. We have mechanisms for tracking people's hours, making sure the hours get put in. In many ways, I think... part of my philosophy behind this model is it's a falsehood to think that just because we're in a brick and mortar building, that means people are, because they're showing up at 9 a.m. and leaving at 5 p.m. I, in my experience, having worked in those office places, that's a far cry from actually meaning they're doing 40 hours of work.
So tell me, what's an ideal customer for you? Because you do have a place in the market that you specialize in. Who do you see as your ideal customer?
So our ideal customer, I think, is somebody that's sort of at the higher end of the scale in terms of looking to do something special, looking to do something unique with their website, with a big emphasis on publishing and content management. We built some interesting products around, you know, website kind of apps, but really the dominant customer is one that's constantly pushing out updates, publishing news, publishing blog posts, updating their pages. So the emphasis really is customers that are publishing, and customers at the upper end, enterprises, large publishers, larger companies for the most part.
And so you've got some fairly sizable customers because you have the ability to ramp up and ramp down. That's one of the critical parts of your business model, is you can bring in these experts or these resources as you need them for a project.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think we've reached a scale now keep it in perspective, but with 30 people now, spread across projects where we can, in a constant pipeline of talent and overflow resources where we can scale to those needs.
So the business model you've got for TinUp, do you see it growing over time, or do you see yourself staying where you are now?
Great question. I think the simplistic answer is I see us growing. I don't see us stopping where we are at 30 people. We're in the middle of actually going through a reorg to help sort of streamline and strengthen some of the things that happen where you can't be as flat when you get to around 30 people, you know, and upwards. I always say that if you're in the web and you're in the technology business, any industry is subject to rapid change, that the honest answer any entrepreneur will give you that doesn't have a controlling effect over the industry, the Apples and the Microsofts of the world, is we want to be in business, you know, in 5 years. And it's less about how big we become than it is about being good at what we do and being effective and frankly profitable.
Yeah, that's one of the intriguing things. I like bringing guys on like Jake. I've got a guest coming in a couple of weeks' time, Carl Palachuk, and Carl's involved in technology, as is Jake. And technology changes and changes so quickly. It's very hard to build a firm business model because things keep changing so quickly. So I'm sure that's your challenge is staying up to date on all the technologies and working out what's bleeding edge and what's cutting edge and applying what makes sense to apply and letting go of the rest.
Absolutely. I mean, I think in any industry, but particularly in technology, that challenge of cranking away and building for your customers but not losing sight of the big picture and staying ahead and staying on your edge is essential.
So I'd like to thank Jake for being a guest this morning. If you're listening and you're wondering about websites, Jake has a unique business model in that he has a team of 30 he can pull together to build a great website. His product isn't for somebody who just wants to have a free website and keep it real simple. He's got a very specific market and specific service that he offers. If you've got questions, you're welcome to give Jake a call. His phone number is 401-757-0610, or you can go onto his website, 10up.com, real simple, 10up.com. Jake, thanks for being a guest this morning. Great to have you here. And when we come back from break, I've got Bill Ango. Jake, thanks for being here.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Money 2.0 is sponsored by Rogerson Business Services.
Call Money 1055 at 866-576-1055. and get your questions answered in real time right now on Money 2.0.
Stocks are lower. The S&P 500 index is down for a second day. From Bloomberg World Headquarters, I'm Charlie Pellett. Stocks move lower after Bank of Japan Governor Haruhiko Kuroda said he sees no need to expand monetary stimulus immediately. Traders and investors are also keeping an eye on Federal Reserve policymakers. Trey Canepa is the owner of Kanai Capital.
I think the idea of the Fed tapering off their QE is absolute nonsense. Bernanke has no incentive whatsoever to let rates rise at all. So I think any traders out there who are positioning themselves for the Fed to back away are making an enormous mistake. But believe it or not, the U.S. bond market, as far as the global picture goes, is not the most important game in town. The most important game is the bond market in Japan.
S&P 500 index down 6 points, a drop of 0.4% to 1636. Dow Industrials down 27 points, a drop of 0.2%. That's a Bloomberg Market Minute.
So we had this break-in on our block, and that triggered my mama bear instincts. I work full-time, so I'm not home when my kids get home. Sometimes I'm not even home before dinner. So it got me thinking, what if that was my home? I had to take action to protect my family. We started researching home security systems, and the clear winner was Vivint. Best price, best technology, super easy to use. It's a fully monitored security system, but I love their video technology most. I can actually see what's going on in my home right from my smartphone, tablet, or computer. I check it before my kids get home, then again around 4 so I know they got home safely. I can even lock the doors remotely if they forget. Vivint keeps me in control of my family's safety, even when I can't be home.
Take control of your family's safety with Vivint. Order now and get up to $1,200 in security equipment at no charge. Just pay a $99 activation. And if you call now, installation is free. Call 800-568-ORDER. 800-568-ORDER. 800-568-ORDER.
We're talking to Gerald Singer and Elias Guzman, attorneys from Singer & Associates Law Office of Father's Custody Center. Elias, does the cost of a family law case have to be expensive?
No. And in this economy, people don't have extra money. Their home values have dropped, and now you're in a situation where you need an attorney. Give us a call today. Schedule a consultation, and we can discuss options with you, like limited scope representation, which may be preparing family law documents or appearing at a hearing with you.
Or ask us about our Be First to File program. Self-representation may be your only option. Be First to File specializes in preparing your legal pleadings, getting them filed, and serving them on the other side. Don't go it alone. Let Singer & Associates help you today.
If you're a divorcing or single father with a family law dispute, contact Singer & Associates now at 916-922-5985 or at our Fairfield office, 707-317-3452, and on the web at singerlaw.net. We'll go to bat for you.
Are you a business owner or entrepreneur at heart? I am too. I'm Andrew Rogerson, a local business broker and host of Money 2.0. Listen live Tuesdays at 10 on Money 105.5 FM. Let's talk about how you can successfully run your business.
Tune in to Money 2.0 with Andrew Rogerson, certified business broker and author of 4 books, Successfully Start Your Business, Buy Your Business, Buy Your Franchise, and Successfully Sell Your Business. Hear Andrew Rogerson on Money 2.0 live, 10 a.m. Tuesdays, right here on Money 105.5 FM.
Money experts, every morning at 10 on Money 2.0. Now, back to the host, Andrew Rogerson.
Welcome back, and thank you for listening to 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. I'm the host of your show, Andrew Rogerson, and my first guest this morning was Jake Goldman, and Jake's with 10up.com. And my second guest is sitting here, and he was actually here the whole time. He was very, very patient listening to my conversation with Jake. My second guest is Bill Angove. Bill, good morning.
Good morning.
Bill's the Vice President of Asset Preservation, Inc., and Bill specializes in a fairly unique area of the market. Not too many people do what Bill does. So, Bill, just give us the 50,000-foot. What are you specializing in doing?
Well, asset preservation is a national qualified intermediary for 1031 exchanges. It allows people to take advantage of the tax code and defer their taxes on the sale of an investment property. That can be anything from a rental house, office building, you name it. Anything that's held for investment can be exchanged for like-kind property also that's going to be held for investment. So someone may own a number of rental houses around town, and they're tired of the T's, tenants, toilets, termites, trash, and they want to sell those properties, and they want to go into a small office building. And they can defer their taxes, both state and federal, and buy that new property. It's a great part of the tax code.
So I thought it was good to have Bill as a guest because, Bill was on board when the market slowed down in 2007. I use the word slow down in inverted commas because it was kind of a crash, but we won't dwell on that. But since then, 2007, 2008, the economy was quiet for what Bill was doing, but the values of commercial real estate's increasing. So therefore, the need to do 1031 exchanges. I'm guessing, Bill, and correct me if I'm wrong, I'm guessing the market's returning to more normal. Is that true?
Yeah, we've increased tremendously since July. It's been up and down for the last 5 years. And starting in July, we started to creep up in there. I think there was some confidence coming back to the marketplace. We had a lot of people that were sitting on the fence with a lot of money and starting to buy these investment properties. Now we're a couple years down the road, and they're starting to exchange out of those properties they bought, say, at the bottom.
Right.
The thing that really has helped our business was right around the election time, we had the increase in the capital gains taxes go up. We had Prop 30 here in California, which increased state taxes. So potentially, it's not 15% long-term capital gains anymore. It could be up to 23.8% when you include the Medicare tax at 3.8% in that. So people are saying, ouch, that's a big hit. I'm not willing to pay the tax. I want to do an exchange and buy a new investment property.
So just be a bit more, that makes perfect sense. Just be a bit more specific. The 1031 exchange is a piece of the IRS code. Have I got that right?
That's correct. It's been around since 1921. And the regulations, the way we work with them today, were really finalized in 1991.
And so who's the customer that you can help? What's the person that you can help the best?
Anybody that's selling an investment property, as I mentioned before. So about, like I said, a rental house, office building, you name it. Someone that's owned that property for a period of time, they've got a decent amount of capital gain in that property, and they don't like the IRS. They don't want to pay taxes.
Actually, so. There seems to be a bit of that going around right now. Nobody seems to like the IRS, whether you're a politician or who you are. But the 1031 exchange complies with the IRS regulations, so what's the process? I own a piece of commercial property, and I put on the market, and I have a willing buyer. And then I realize, wow, I've got all these taxes to take care of. What's my thought process?
Well, the first thing that we typically, when people contact us, is we tell them to talk to their tax advisor or CPA. There's plenty of good tax advisors, CPAs in here in town to, make sure that an exchange makes sense. There's some people have contacted us where they bought the property for X and are selling it for less, and they may not need to do an exchange. So I've actually talked people out of needing to do it. So the first thing, talk to your tax advisor. Number two, contact us. I don't know if you want me to give out our phone numbers.
Absolutely.
No.
Yeah, go for it.
Our number is 800-282-1031. That's a toll-free call. Or our local number is 916-791-5991.
Yep.
And we walk people through the exchange process, when they need to set up their exchange, which is definitely before they close. Because a lot of times we'll get a call, hey, I closed last week. And my buddy said I should call you to do an exchange, and unfortunately it's too late, because when they do an exchange, our documentation needs to be prepared, and they need to sign that documentation prior to close of escrow.
So just so I'm clear, I'm going to break this down because it's important. If I own a piece of property and I decide to sell it and I have a buyer that's ready to buy it, mm-hmm. I then also need to look at having another property lined up to purchase. Is that right?
You don't necessarily need to. However, in this marketplace, and I'm very involved with Acres Association of Commercial Real Estate and several of the local real estate boards, is inventory is a problem. So it can't hurt to be out there looking and even have a replacement property under contract if you so choose, such that you've got that property locked up to buy. Because when someone closes, they have 45 days to identify in writing what it is they're going to potentially buy in the exchange. Okay. After that timeline expires, they cannot change their list. One of the options is they can identify up to three properties, doesn't matter the price or order, and it can be anywhere in the United States. So they can sell in Texas and buy in California. They can sell in California and buy in Hawaii or Tahoe.
And is there a necessity if, for example, if you does it apply to duplexes and apartment buildings and commercial properties? Is there a list of property that qualifies for doing this 1031 exchange?
As mentioned, anything that's held for investment. What you cannot exchange is your primary residence. You cannot exchange into a property you're going to move into right away as your primary residence. You can't buy a car. You can't buy a boat. You can't pay off the mortgage on another rental property. So it's real estate for real estate, basically.
And I think there's an expression called like kind property. Am I understanding that correctly? You've got to buy something that's of like kind?
Like kind is what the code says. However, that's very vague. So you could sell a rental house and buy an office building. There may be land seems to be hot again. So, someone that owns a piece of land could sell that and buy a triple net leased property.
So, okay, that's great. So you do have some flexibility. I like that you mentioned there that was vague. So I think people like vague. So vague is good. So so there's option available to them. Does the exchange need to be simultaneous? Do I have to do it at the same time as I sell the property?
You know, it used to be that way. You know, you had to have everything done the same day. Now, with the regulations changing in 1991, they established the timeline I started mentioning earlier, that you have a total of 45 days from the close of your relinquished property to identify in writing. And the other timeline is that you have 180 days to close on that property from the close of your old property. So you close your old property, the clock begins to tick. You have 45 days to identify in writing what it is you're going to potentially buy. And from the same closing date, you have 180 days to close on that replacement property. So roughly 6 months.
So if you're an investor in property, and the 1031 exchange, there's some mighty good reasons for doing this. Can you quickly go through some of the reasons, if that makes sense?
Sure, absolutely. Some people are, as I mentioned earlier, are tired of management, tired of tenants, as I mentioned. So they might want to diversify into a different type of property. With today's low interest rates, they can leverage into larger property. It's incredible how much your dollar can buy you these days. They may want to diversify into different types of property. And they want to preserve their equity. So there's many reasons to do it.
Would you consider the 1031 exchange part of a good estate plan?
Absolutely. We have many people that are moving here from the San Francisco Bay Area, and they're selling their primary residence for $1 million plus over there, but they also have rental properties over there. And they're thinking that maybe, well, I've got a kid going to school at Chico, fine institution of learning, by the way. I've got a kid in Bakersfield, and I've got a kid in Los Angeles. So I may want to buy new investment properties where those kids live, such that when I do pass away, they will inherit those properties, and they're not located where I currently live now.
So the 1031 exchange it's not built for all situations, but there's got to be some downside. Is there things that you'd encourage people to be aware of? Yes, there's plenty of pros, but there's also some negatives to take into account as well.
Well, negatives are just looking at the situation from your tax situation. Who they need to talk to is their tax advisor first. If they're selling at a loss, do they need to do an exchange? Looking at the current inventory right now, it's tough to find a property,
right?
And that people are reluctant to do an exchange. And my thought is you least can spend the money to start an exchange and buy yourself 45 days. And so that's the negative, if you will, is you're only given 45 days to identify what it is you're going to potentially buy.
Is there any reason why they chose 45 days? Do you have any?
What I understand from back in the day when they were establishing these rules is there was an argument of we shouldn't have an identification period. And the other side of the coin was, well, let's make it 90 days, and they couldn't agree. So the theory is they just kind of met in the middle. But that's the biggest complaint in any marketplace is you only have 45 days to identify.
Yeah, okay, interesting. My guest this morning is Jake Goldman. No, he's not. My first guest this morning was Jake Goldman. My second guest this morning is Bill Langove, and Bill's with Asset Preservation, Inc. If you've got some time, hang on. I've got some more questions for Bill when you get back from break. So when we come back from break, some more questions for Bill about the 1031 exchange plan.
Money 2.0 is sponsored by Rogerson Business Services.
Call Money 1055 at 866-576-1055 and get your questions answered in real time right now on Money 2.0.
It's that time for dads, grads, and golf lovers everywhere to save on the green. Get it on Bass Lake Golf Course's discounted twilight tee times at 1 and 3 p.m. At Bass Lake, experience quality golf amidst dramatic foothill settings. Sharpen your game at Bass Lake with a 30-stall driving range and practice greens. This summer, enroll your junior golfer in camp at Bass Lake. Check out more information on camps and this exciting course online at basslakegolfcourse.com. And stay connected on Bass Lake Facebook page. Bass Lake Golf Course, simply great. great golf.
Are you a business owner or entrepreneur at heart? I am too. I'm Andrew Rogerson, a local business broker and host of Money 2.0. Listen live Tuesdays at 10 on Money 105.5 FM. Let's talk about how you can successfully run your business.
Tune in to Money 2.0 with Andrew Rogerson, certified business broker and author of 4 books, Successfully Start Your Business, Buy Your Franchise, and Successfully Sell Your Business. Hear Andrew Rogerson on Money 2.0 live, 10 a.m. Tuesdays, right here on Money 105.5 FM.
Money experts, every morning at 10 on Money 2.0. Now, back to the host, Andrew Rogerson.
Welcome back, and thank you for listening to 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. I'm the host of your show, Andrew Rogerson, and guess what? We're live, and I didn't realize we're live, so that's what live radio does to you. It puts you on the spot. My second guest this morning is Bill Angove, and Bill's a 1031 exchange expert, so we've been talking about the 1031 exchange program. Bill, how did you get started? It seems a very unique piece of business. And I'm guessing one morning you didn't roll out of bed and said, I'm going to start doing 1031 exchanges. I guess there was a little bit more to it. How did you get started?
Well, out of college, I worked for a commercial real estate company in town, Bishop Hawk Commercial Real Estate. I worked there for 10 years and learned a little bit about the exchange process, being a commercial broker, and met Javier Vandesteeg, who's the current president of our company, and we became friends. And he said, you know, our business is taking off and I need someone to help, you know, market our company throughout the state of California. And I decided to take the leap of faith and move into this industry. Gosh, it's been over 15 years ago that I got into the 1031 business and haven't looked back.
Yeah. So was there a particular attraction to this piece of specialization? What got you interested in it?
Well, I think the biggest attraction is we help people want us. They like us. We help them save them hundreds of thousands of dollars in tax every year nationwide. And I also like speaking. Part of my marketing campaign is giving seminars at local realtors, commercial real estate associations, et cetera, throughout the state of California. So I enjoy teaching people about the benefits of taking advantage of the tax code. And then I also teach people about investment analysis. What is cap rate? What's cash on cash? Because they'll be working with a real estate broker and they'll say, well, I want to sell at a 4 cap and I want to buy at a 10 cap. And so I started teaching realtors about how to analyze an investment property, which of course leads them working with investors and then leads them to referring our company that we're an expert on 1031 exchanges.
So how did you learn? Was there I imagine there was a 1031 exchange school, just a matter of the school of hard knocks? Is that how that works?
It's a lot of reading of the tax code. It's good bedtime reading, as I like to say out there. It's a lot of reading, yeah. Attending seminars myself. Right. Javier was an incredible instructor and patient with me, learning the process. Our national sales manager worked with me a lot in just learning the ins and outs of the issues that go on with exchanges.
And so commercial real estate, obviously something you have a great deal of passion for. I think I'm correct saying last year you were the president of the Association of Commercial Real Estate Agents. Is that right?
It was a couple years ago I was the president. Our current president is Adam Nelson with Buzz Oates Real Estate.
Okay.
And that's a fantastic organization, Association of Commercial Real Estate. In the last few years, we've had an event called Broker of the Year Awards, and we've raised over $3.5 million for Sacramento Children's Home. This year was Boys and Girls Club of America, or Sacramento, and we've got other charities that we've raised a lot of money for. So it's Stanford Home for Children. They'll come in with a matching donor, and this year we raised over $300,000 in one night for that charity.
It's an impressive organization, ACRE, Association of Commercial Real Estate Agents. They do so much good in the community, and I used to be a member of ACRE. I'm an associate member right now, but do some incredible things. And Bill was president a couple of years ago. I thought it was last year, but a couple of years ago. So to get to that level of being president at ACRE, that's an achievement that Bill's obviously proud of and should be proud of. Take me through, if somebody's listening and they're thinking, hey, this 1031 exchange, I didn't know it existed, or maybe they knew about it, but they weren't quite sure how it worked. If a customer was to call you and say, what's the process? How would you break down the process of doing an exchange with Asset Preservation Inc.?
Well, the first thing we're going to do is find out their situation. You know, what are you selling? How long have you owned it? How do you hold title? You know, find out if there's any red flags. You know, are they going to be selling the property and doing any seller financing for the buyer? One of the issues that comes up is, you know, I bought this property 3 months ago, and I'm going to make 50 grand on it and flip it, as they like to say.
Right.
Can I do an exchange? Well, I'm not here to say yes, you can, or no, you can't. But it might be a red flag to the IRS, since you've had such a short holding period, that you may want to consider holding it longer. Some tax advisors tell their client to hold the property for a year. Some more conservatively say hold that property for 2 years before you do your next exchange or flip out of the property, if you will. So we bring that up as an issue that they need to talk to their tax advisor about. Seller financing can be an issue also, because if somebody offers me $500,000 down and wants me to carry $500,000 note, how does that work with my exchange? Because they either can, you know, hold the note and pay taxes on it goes, but then they would only do the exchange on the other $500,000. So we talk about those issues. Once they understand they want to set up the exchange with us, you know, we're going to take down all the rest of their information. We're pretty much paper free these days. Everything's scanned. So what they'll do is, if you know they're located in Tahoe and they're selling a property here, they may be using the title company up there. We'll prepare all our documentation and sent to the title company that they're using for the sale. So our documents will be there with our normal closing documents that the seller has to sign. So we make it really easy on them to set up their exchange with us. Name, address, telephone number, who's your escrow officer, you know, what's their phone number, email address, what's the address of the property you're selling, how long have you owned it, issues like that. We'll go through that. They can do it on our website. It's apiexchange.com is our website. It's easy to go there. We actually have over 165 newsletters on our website that people can access anytime to get more information about, you know, maybe converting a residence to a rental or vice versa. A lot of the times people have converted a rental to a residence and want to know if they can exchange out of it. So we've got that information there for them.
So I mentioned it would be easy for you if somebody's listening to the show and they're hearing, hey, this 1031 exchange sounds good, for them to give you a call. Do you tag team with their tax advisor? Do you feel comfortable working with a tax advisor and having a conversation so that the seller and the tax advisor and you are all part of the same conversation?
Absolutely. We want to work together with their tax advisor. You know, some people just don't understand taxes, and so we'll say, you know, you should sit down with your tax advisor. We'll be glad to meet with them in person, with or without their tax advisor. You know, we're not here to tell them to do an exchange. We're not, you know, that role. We're kind of like the middleman in the transaction, that when they close, they can't touch their proceeds. That money comes to us to hold for them during that exchange process.
So I mentioned, you know, a lot of tax advisors, there's a perception that, you know, a CPA has this designation and they know everything to do with the tax law. But the tax law is so complicated that, you know, the tax advisor just can't know everything. So bringing you in for your expertise just helps complement the situation and just makes it clear for everybody.
Yeah, and, we'll, you know, they'll sometimes say, well, I do my own taxes or I use TurboTax. And we'll say, you know, maybe it's time to go to that next level, to have someone that knows what they specialize in, you know, tax advice on real estate. Just like lawyers, there's those who specialize in different areas.
Right, right. So setting up the exchange, it's a fairly quick process once you've made the decisions to get through things, or can that slow things down?
Yeah, there's no application that they need to fill out for us. What we need is, as I mentioned earlier, is their information. The address of the property that's being sold. A lot of times we get a call from the escrow officer setting up the exchange. As I mentioned, they can go to our website to set up the exchange. And some people, you know, say, well, you know, I don't know what my taxes will potentially be on this property if I sell it. I don't know if I need to do an exchange. Well, one of the things that we have on our website is a capital gain calculator.
Right.
So they can go in, plug in what they paid for it, what improvements they made to the property, because the capital improvements are part of that calculation, and subtract out the total amount of depreciation. That'll tell them their net adjusted basis. Then they can go in and plug in what they sell it for today, minus that net adjusted basis, minus closing costs, and that'll tell them what their capital gain is. And the next part of the calculations are, here's what your state taxes are, here's what your federal taxes are going to be. And the big one is, especially if they start having capital gains over $500,000 or more, you know, the capital gains tax would be not 15%, it's going to be 20%.
Right.
And they're going to be hit with 3.8% Medicare tax. And then California kicks up in that area, will be another 11.2 or, I mean, it's 11.3, 12.3, who knows, depending on the income level.
Sure. So on your website, I was there yesterday having a look. You've got some pretty impressive tools on the website. You mentioned one of the four, the capital gains tax calculator. What else have you got on there that could be helpful for people planning a 1031 exchange?
Well, the nice thing and that's very popular is that the people can go in and say, okay, if my closing date is July 1st, you know, when is my 45th day of my exchange? When is my 180th day of the exchange? As part of our service, we provide them not only an identification letter, but we provide them notifications via email or however they want to receive it from us. Hey, you're this far into your 45-day identification period. You know, just a heads up that you're getting close to that period where you've got to identify. Otherwise, if they don't identify, they no longer have an exchange.
So the your website address. Let's give that out one more time.
Sure, it's API. So short for Asset Preservation Inc. So it's APIExchange.com.
Okay.
Or our 800 number 800-282-1031.
Great. So on your website, you've got tools. We've got time for you to tell me one more tool. So highlight one of the extra tools you've got on there you think that may be helpful for people.
Well, I would say for the real estate professionals listening, we have over 165 newsletters, as I pointed out. If they're on LinkedIn or ActiveRain or Facebook and they're needing material or blogging, you know, our newsletters are really available on our website for them to copy and get out to information to their clients. One of the most recent ones that a lot of people aren't aware of is that you know, the taxes have gone up, and if they've got a decent amount of gain, the taxes are going to be a lot more than they think.
Yep.
So those newsletters are all available for the real estate agents to use on their blogs, et cetera.
Bill, thanks for coming on the show this morning and talking to us about 1031 Exchange. Unfortunately, time's against us. We've run out of time, but I appreciate you being a guest. If you're listening and you've got questions for Bill, what's that the best phone number to give again?
800-282-1031.
Great. Thanks for being a guest. Thank you for listening today. You're on 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. I'm the host of your show, Andrew Rogerson. Next week, I've got a guest from Two Men in a Truck and my technology guy, Carl Palachuk. And if you're thinking about buying a franchise, give me a call, 916-570-2674. And thanks for listening today. Talk to you next week.
Money 2.0 is sponsored by Rogerson Business Services.